Well, last night, I arrived back from Rome with my luggage, by the way. I'm happy to report. And it was a fantastic trip. Before sharing about how the Roman Catholic Messianic Jewish dialogue group went, I'd like to share with you about a crazy experience I had riding the metro in this ancient city. I was traveling from the Colosseum, the largest amphitheater in the world, to Piazza del Popolo, where there is an Egyptian obelisk in the middle of a public square. This obelisk is 24 meters high and was carved during the reigns of Ramses II in the 13th century BCE, as well as the king who preceded him. This obelisk was created several centuries before King David lived. And it was brought to Rome in the year 10 BCE by Caesar Augustus. Anyway, on my way to this historic site, a woman on the train randomly came up to me and told me that I should be careful of pickpockets. It was kind of an odd thing for this lady to come up to me. I had never met her before, and I didn't know why she came up to me in particular. So I took her words with a grain of salt, especially since I've never had anyone take my wallet before. I had a great time at Piazza del Popolo and was returning back on the same train when, guess what happened? As the train approached the very station where the woman had cautioned me about pickpockets, I wasn't pickpocketed, but the man next to me was pickpocketed, and by a pregnant woman, no less. Because a lot of people saw what happened, all the people on my train car started yelling at this woman, at this pregnant pickpocketer. And I can tell you that Italians are very expressive people, especially the ones that I met during my trip. And as all of this was happening, a man who was sitting in front of me suddenly got up from where he was sitting and literally kicked the woman out of the train. When the doors opened, he kicked her out of the train. And it was a particularly shocking scene to witness because he kicked the woman in the stomach. And he could have really harmed the baby. As I reflected on this whole experience on my way back to the Pontifical Irish College where I was staying, I thought to myself, the man was definitely in the wrong to kick this woman in the stomach. It was an act of vigilante justice. He had no right to do this. At the same time, whatever financial difficulties the woman was facing, pickpocketing is a crime, and she was not caring for her baby properly by being in the metro and subjecting the baby to possible harm. This morning, I would like to talk with you about caring for our baby. What do I mean, caring for our baby? Some of us might be saying, I don't have a baby. I'm in the youth group. I'm too young to have a baby. Others of us who are seniors might be thinking, I once had a baby, but now I'm a grandparent. I'm too old to have a baby now. But the fact is, all of us here have a baby. What is the baby I'm thinking of? It is the Messianic Jewish community. I'd like to put forward three points this morning that have to do with caring for this baby, the Messianic Jewish community, that the Lord has given each of us. And they are, number one, babies are helpless. Number two, my trip to Rome. And number three, do we have vision to care for our baby? Let's begin with number one, babies are helpless. Babies require parents, guardians, and family members to take care of them and look after them. Have you ever seen a mother bird feed her little baby birds? Well, if you haven't, we should have a picture up here. No? Do we have a picture? Oh, there we go. Yeah, here's one picture of mother bird feeding her baby birds. It's another one. It's a beautiful sight to see those beaks open up, chirping for food, and the mother bird placing the food she found inside their mouths. Babies can't take care of themselves. Can a baby feed him or herself? I don't think so. Can a baby change its own diaper? I've never seen it. When our daughter Hannah was a baby, she would cry and cry and cry because she had colic and couldn't fix the problem. To help her sleep, we would put Hannah in a baby swing and set the button to maximum. Or I would put her in a car seat and drive Hannah around. The sound of the motor was soothing to her soul. And when she finally went to sleep, I would go home and Harumi would put her in the crib. Here at Tikvat Israel, we want to be a congregation that takes care of our babies. Why? Because God loves them. God loves all of the babies in this community. They are precious in his sight. Hashem says in Isaiah 49, verse 15, "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you." David Wien, our rabbi in training, wrote a beautiful song based on this scripture. In the Brit Chadashah, we are told how Yeshua cared for babies. It is written in Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies to Yeshua to have him touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Yeshua called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." When our family lived in England, we would sometimes put Miriam in the stroller and walk to downtown Cambridge to get a bite to eat. One of the culture shocks that we encountered was seeing signs on the front doors of some restaurants that said, "No children allowed." Or we would go into a restaurant and be told, "I'm sorry, but we don't allow children here." By contrast, when we visited Italy as a family and passed by restaurants, lots of people would come up to Hannah, Lisa, and Miriam and say, "Oh, what beautiful children! Ah, bambino, come in, come in!" What a difference it was in Italy. I remember us walking down a cobblestone street, a narrow alley in Rome, with Miriam in the stroller. And a man wearing dark sunglasses was briskly walking toward us from the other end of the alley. He looked like a mafiosa figure, so I was keeping my eye on him. As he approached the stroller, he looked at Miriam, gave her a smile, waved at her with his fingers like this, and then kept walking down the alley, talking about a child-friendly culture. This is what we want our community at Tikvat Israel to be like, a child-friendly culture, motivated by God's love for little ones. On that note, as we approach the traditional new year, Rosh Hashanah, be prepared for some changes in how our community expresses care for our children during our service. We want them to be with us more during our time of worship and prayer. But because children have a more limited attention span, we are going to do things like provide activity bags for the children. Now, understand that this is for children under a certain age. So if you are if you are 45, you cannot have an activity bag. You want an activity bag? David wants an activity bag. Well, I'm sorry, David, but I think you'll be over that age range. But we will be providing these activity bags so that our children can just sit during the service, kind of enjoy playing with different things. And if you covet things in that activity bag, just see me after the service, and I'll try to find some for you as well. We may also be handing out lollipops during the Torah service to remind our children of the sweetness of God's word. So we're expecting to have a little more noise, a little bit more of a mess here and there, and I just want to give us all a heads up. And let you know that we're doing this because we love our children and because we care for them, and we're happy that they are with us when our community comes together for worship, for the worship of Hashem. Babies and small children are dependent on us to care for them. And this brings us to my second point, my trip to Rome. As I mentioned, I returned last night from Rome, where I participated in the Roman Catholic Messianic Jewish Dialogue Group. 14 years ago, two Messianic Jewish leaders from Israel, Reuven and Benjamin Berger, met with Pope John Paul II. The Pope was interested in Messianic Jews and Messianic Judaism. And afterwards, he asked Father George Cottier, now Cardinal Cottier, the Vatican's papal theologian, to begin a dialogue with Messianic Jewish leaders. The first meeting of this dialogue took place at a remote monastery in the countryside of Italy, where no one could see the Roman Catholic leaders meeting with the Messianic Jews. It was highly secretive, to the point even that some of the Catholics wore sunglasses and disguised themselves. Why were they so concerned? They were afraid of how the wider Jewish community would respond if mainstream Jewish leaders learned of these meetings. In the initial talks, the Messianic Jewish leaders shared their stories and introduced these Roman Catholic leaders to our community, how we came to exist, and the nature and the contours of our movement around the world. The Roman Catholic leaders told the Messianic Jewish leaders that their agenda at these meetings was to determine if, quote, we were who we said we were, unquote. They wanted to determine if we were truly the restored remnant of Israel after all these centuries, or if we were just a Protestant evangelical group claiming to be Jewish in order to evangelize Jews. The purpose of these meetings, from their perspective, was to make this determination. They wanted to explore who we were. For 7 years, the members of this Roman Catholic Messianic Jewish Dialogue Group met annually. For 7 years, they kept it a secret. It was highly confidential. Then, in the 7th year, the Roman Catholic leaders said to the Messianic Jews, quote, we have come to the conclusion that you are who you say you are, and we believe that you are an eschatological sign, unquote. In saying this, the Roman Catholic leaders were not formally representing the Catholic Church, but as a group initiated by Pope John Paul II, they were opening the door to a process that had the potential of leading to the Catholic Church's formal recognition of our community as the restored remnant of Israel, the Jewish wing of the body of the Messiah. In my opinion, this was an historic moment when the Roman Catholic leaders said that they believed that we were who we said we were, and that we were an eschatological sign, because the reason why I think this is so historic is that the Catholic Church is the oldest and the largest continuing church in the world, with more than a billion members. Starting that year, the Roman Catholic leaders agreed that the dialogue should no longer be secret, and that it was important to begin trying to bring other bishops and Vatican leaders into the dialogue so that a kind of groundswell of support could develop within the Roman Catholic Church for the Messianic Jewish community. There was a strong sense among the Catholic leaders that because we were who we said we were, that in some way they, the Catholic Church, needed us little Messianic Jewish community, to be whole. Along these lines, Father Cantala Mesa, the preacher of the papal household, whose official job it is to preach a sermon to the Pope every Friday, has written that the Messianic Jewish movement may be the beginning of the, quote, rejoining of Israel with the church, unquote. And this reunification, quote, will involve a rearrangement in the church, unquote. Similarly, the Messianic Jewish leaders who have been engaged in this dialogue have felt that we have something to learn from the Roman Catholic Church. We have something to receive from them as well. It is not one way. Pope John Paul II died in 2005, and in 2008, the new pope, Pope Benedict XVI, asked Cardinal Christoph Schönborn, the Archbishop of Vienna and the editor of the new Catechism of the Catholic Church, to replace Cardinal Cattier as the pope's representative in the dialogue. From 2008, Cardinal Schönborn has been reporting directly to the Pope about the content of these meetings with the Messianic Jewish leaders. He will now be reporting to Pope Francis, who, I am glad to say, had interaction with Messianic Jewish leaders before he became Pope. I became aware of the Roman Catholic Messianic Jewish dialogue in 2008 when it was no longer confidential. And I remember thinking to myself, wouldn't it be amazing to be a fly on that wall and listen in on their conversations? Well, the Lord hears the desires of our hearts. And about 3 years ago, I received a phone call from one of the Messianic Jewish leaders involved in the dialogue. And he told me that one of the members of their delegation was stepping off the team, and they were wondering if I would be interested in joining the group. The long and the short of it is that it took me about 3 seconds to say yes. And 2 years ago, I flew to Rome to sit at the table. This year, I returned to the dialogue. There were 5 Messianic Jews represented, 2 from Israel, Dan Juster and Lisa Loden, three, and Vered Hillel, 2 from the United States, Mark Kinzer and myself, and 1 from England, Richard Harvey. The Roman Catholic representatives around the table included, among others, Cardinal Schönborn, Cardinal Cattier, who joined us briefly, Father Jean-Miguel Garricas, and 2 priests who were Jewish. 1, a Dominican named Father Antoine Levy, and another who is a Jesuit named Father David Neuhaus. The second Jewish priest, Father Neuhaus, who, by the way, I played some table tennis with, is the vicar in Jerusalem over all Hebrew-speaking Catholics. Both are extraordinary men of God. This year, I spent a week in Rome attending the dialogue meetings, representing our community, and I was profoundly impacted. Some very exciting steps were taken that I am not able to publicly share with you right now because they are in process. However, in the coming months, I hope to be able to tell you about them. What I can say is that God is doing extraordinary things through this dialogue at the highest levels of the Roman Catholic Church. Things that I could have never dreamed of seeing in our own day. So I want to ask all of us to keep this in our prayers, and I hope to report back to you in a few months. As Messianic Jews and Roman Catholics, we didn't just dialogue, we also prayed together and studied the scriptures together. We grew in the Lord together. On the Messianic Jewish side, we would like to see the Roman Catholic Church formally recognize the Messianic Jewish community as the restored remnant of Israel, as the Jewish wing of the body of the Messiah, without which the church is not whole. We also discussed the importance of the Roman Catholic Church encouraging its millions of Jewish Catholics to remain Jews, to become better Jews, and to connect with the community of Jewish followers of Yeshua worldwide, so that as Jewish followers of Yeshua, we can strengthen one another and work together for the Lord. A number of us in the dialogue would like to see the Catholic Church appoint a Jewish liaison to Messianic Jews worldwide, so that the relationship can be strengthened between the Messianic Jewish community and the Roman Catholic Church. Why is this important? I'm glad you asked. We need to remember that the Messianic Jewish community existed during the first four centuries of the Common Era. And then, what happened to it? It disappeared in the 5th century. And from the 5th century until the 18th century, from the 5th century all the way until the 18th century, we have no evidence of any Messianic Jewish communities. To put it another way, the Messianic Jewish community ceased to exist for more than 1,000 years. Why was this? There are various reasons, but fundamentally, it was because the Messianic Jewish community in the 4th century was caught between a rock and a hard place. It was rejected by the leaders of the wider Jewish community, and it was rejected by the leaders of the Gentile wing of the church. And without support from either ecclesial community, the 4th century Messianic Jewish community lacked the strength to survive. And so it disappeared from the world scene for more than 13 centuries. Baruch Hashem that we exist once again today. Do you agree with me? After all those centuries. Baruch Hashem. However, let me ask you a question. Are we stronger than the Messianic Jewish community in antiquity? Are we stronger than that 4th century Messianic Jewish community that ceased to exist for over 1,000 years? I don't think so. Those who think that the modern Messianic Jewish community is here to stay and capable of surviving on its own are mistaken. Our community could very well cease to exist within 50 years. We are weak and fragile and dependent. We are like a B-A-B-Y, a baby. Let me say that again. We are like a baby. We cannot survive on our own. Without the wider Jewish community nurturing this movement, or the Gentile wing of the church caring for this community's well-being, we will fall into oblivion again, perhaps for another 1,000 years, if Yeshua tarries. We need to learn the lesson from history and not presume that we can take care of ourselves or that God will sustain us without the support of our brothers or sisters in the Jewish and the Christian worlds. That is why it is so important that the Catholic Church and other Christian groups recognize and support our movement through their prayers, their blessings, their encouragements, and their deeds of kindness. I cannot tell you what it was like to be in that room around that table with two cardinals blessing our movement and encouraging us in the Lord. That meant a great deal, and I'm passing it on to you. The Archbishop of Vienna encouraging our community to stay strong. On the Jewish side, we are strengthened exponentially whenever leaders and machers within the wider Jewish community recognize and support our community. And this brings us to my final point. Do we have vision to care for our baby? When I was in Rome one morning while I was brushing my teeth, I felt the Lord spoke to me. You know, sometimes I just feel the Lord drops something into my heart, and in my kishkas, in my inner being, I just sense his words resounding within me. And I felt that the Lord said to me, the Messianic Jewish community is like a baby that he has given to each of us who is called to be in this movement. More than anyone else, we, each one of us here, have the responsibility to care and nurture this baby, to care for and nurture this baby. Do we take this responsibility seriously? Will we persevere in embracing this responsibility despite the mess? You know, babies sometimes create a mess. Despite the noise, they create noise. And despite the inconvenience that comes with taking care of this baby, the Messianic Jewish community. With your permission, I would like to share my heart and speak frankly. Young people, young adults included, I want to encourage you not to abandon the Messianic Jewish community. I want to encourage you not to abandon our community for local churches or mainstream synagogues or drop out of congregational life altogether. That is, not caring if this baby will survive. When we do this, we forget that it is our baby that we are abandoning. Middle age and older folks, I want to exhort us not to check out of the Messianic Jewish movement, or as some say, to go on vacation, or to visit the Messianic synagogue only on occasions, thinking the Messianic movement will always be there for us. The Messianic Jewish community is our baby, and the baby may not survive without you and me taking care of it. Everyone, let us not cease or shrink back from supporting our synagogue with our tithes and our offerings, thinking that the money will magically appear from someplace else. We must not forget that the Messianic Jewish community is a baby that the Lord has given us to take care of financially. What kind of parent or guardian skimps on their baby, giving a dollar here and a dollar there for their baby's needs? A responsible parent prioritizes meeting all of the financial needs that their baby has. And a parent does this with gladness. A gladness rooted in thankfulness to God for being given that baby, which is a gift. Let us have the same financial commitment to this baby, the Messianic Jewish community. And finally, my brothers and sisters, let us not just enjoy the baby. What a cute baby. goo goo gaga. Let us not just enjoy the baby. Let us also give our time and our energy to care for the baby through our acts of service, as many of us already do, through deeds of kindness, through mitzvot in our synagogue. If we think others will carry the load, we are mistaken. Moreover, if most of us think this way and leave the responsibilities to others, our baby will not survive. And the Messianic Jewish community will disappear once again, as it did at the end of the 4th century, leading to the non-existence of Messianic synagogues for over 1,000 years. It all comes down to whether or not we, each one of us, you and you and you and you and me, each one of us, whether we have a vision to take care of this baby that the Lord has given us. If we know that we are called by God to be in this movement, then we need to have the mindset that we are the ones primarily responsible for this baby. We are all guardians in this regard. We are called to selflessly nurture and love this baby that the Lord has given us, so that it grows to fulfill its destiny in the Malchut Hashem, the kingdom of God. Yeshua said in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." Can we put that scripture up? No? Well, let me say it to you, and please repeat after me. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. The truth is, we have all been given much. When I was in Rome, one night I went out to get some bottles of water. And as I was leaving the Irish college, walking out with me was a priest, a Father Michael from Ireland. He wasn't part of our Messianic Jewish dialogue. He was just staying in the Irish Pontifical College. And so I said to Father Michael, shall we go together? And he said, oh, yeah, I wanted to get a drink too. I thought he meant bottled water, but he had something else in mind. So he said he knew a place, so I followed him. And we went. It turned out to be a kind of like an Irish pub. But it was an Italian pub that just looked like an Irish or English pub. So we're sitting down at the table, and he was drinking his brandy. Father Michael got happier and happier. And as he was sharing, this wonderful, wonderful man, Father Michael said to me, he said, the Irish and the Jews are very similar. We all have gone through many hardships. But he said, when the Irish go through difficulties, we become happy. So he said, well, why, Father Michael? Why are the Irish so happy? And he said, it's because we're grateful. We're grateful for the little that God has given us. He said, the difference between the Irish and the Jews is that when the Jews go through difficulties, the Jews stay together. But when the Irish go through difficulties, we scatter. That's what he said. The fact is, we need to be like the Irish. We need to be thankful for what we've been given. We have been entrusted with a baby. Those of us who are parents know the joy of parenthood and the great responsibility that comes with it. These are exciting times to be living in, times that previous generations longed to see. Let us rise to the occasion and with thankful hearts sacrificially take care of this precious baby the Lord has given us, in order that great blessing would come to the whole world by God's grace through the Messianic Jewish community. Today we have talked about caring for our baby, and I had 3 points. First, babies are helpless. They require others to take care of them. Second, my trip to Rome. We need the support of others, including the Roman Catholic Church, our brothers and sisters around the world, Jewish and Christian, so that we will not be caught between a rock and a hard place once again. Pray that the Catholic Church recognizes and supports the Messianic Jewish community so that our baby can continue to grow. And finally, third, do we have a vision to care for our baby? If we know that we are called by God to be in this movement, then we need to have the mindset that we are the ones primarily responsible for this baby. Let's pray.